Welcome to Productive Catholic Mom, everyone. This is such a great episode. This is an episode where I interview my dear friend Nicole, and she tells us her story about adopting. She did go on to do foster care and adopt 3 more children, but this episode is just her adoption story. It's really, really cool, and you're going to want to listen to the whole thing. I do want to apologize. There are a few parts where the audio is shoddy. I did my best to edit what I could, but there are a few parts where my voice has a really annoying echo. So do your best to ignore that and just enjoy the show.
Cool.
Yes.
Hey, okay. Everybody, hi. Welcome to Productive Catholic Mom. This is my friend Nicole. Can I use your last name?
That's fine.
Okay. Too late now.
Yeah, put me on the spot.
Well, this is Nicole Forrest. She is a longtime friend of mine, and I wanted to have her on the podcast today because she has a really interesting story about adoption and foster care and this journey that she's been on for how many years now, Nicole?
Since... My oldest, Colby, just turned 9.
Wow. Okay. So I wanted to have you on because you have such great insight and you've learned so much through this journey that I just think so many other moms would benefit from hearing you talk about it. So thank you for being on. Yeah. Okay. So why don't you give us a synopsis of like how everything started and how you jumped into the whole adoption thing?
Sure. So, I mean, I've always had a heart for adoption just growing up, you know? So it was always kind of in the back of my mind anyway, but after I got married, my husband and I, we just kind of, you know, we did the NFP thing a little bit in the beginning. And then just kind of, let's just see what happens. You know, we'll just do not worry about it. And nothing was happening. And then pretty soon it's like, let's use NFP to try to make it happen, and still no baby. So then we decided we should kind of look into some stuff. And long story short, I ended up finding out that I have endometriosis, severe endometriosis. So that was the big, okay. You know, a lot of people, there's different routes you can take. I don't know how far we really want to go into that story, but it didn't take us very long to decide that adoption was the way to go for us.
Okay.
So we started looking into our options from there.
I remember that was like a super hard time for you. You don't have to like go into super detail, but
yeah,
that in itself was really hard when you realized it probably wasn't going to happen for you too. And you really wanted to have children.
Right. Right. So, I mean, you know, if obviously our faith directed us towards adoption much quicker than maybe other couples may have explored other things, you know, like different types of fertility things and whatnot. There was a drug that I could have taken called Lupron, which could help with the endometriosis. I had surgery to help see if it could help clear it up enough. So I did have the surgery, and then we tried for 6 months, and then the Lupron was a possibility to start, and that would be another, I forget if it was 6 months, give or take, that we could try that, which basically puts you into temporary menopause. And there's a lot of side effects you have to consider and things like that. And do you want me to tell the little story that I think that I love to tell?
Sure.
That I think is like total God moment. I had signed up actually. I mean, we were about to do the Lupron. Like I signed up through, I forget it. I called somebody. It was through, they put down my information for my credit card and everything because it was going to be like $75 a month. And the whole thing was like ready to go. I hung up with the person and everything. And I just kind of like, I was like, okay, I guess we're doing this, you know? And here I am sitting on, you know, at the time it was my computer because people actually use their computers back then rather than their phones all the time. And so I'm sitting at my computer, just like reading all of the potential side effects and everything and just kind of processing it all, you know, that, okay, I guess this is what we're doing. And I just kind of started having second thoughts right away. And I started voicing those thoughts to my husband, Dominic, and reading them, basically reading these side effects. And he said, he just was like, don't do it. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I already signed up. Like, we're doing this, you know? I'm like, what do you mean, don't do it? Even though I was obviously having second thoughts too, but I was stressed out at the time. And I'm like, well, we're just doing it. It's already done. Like, what do you want me to call her back and just say cancel the whole thing? Well, I didn't have to because she called me back like minutes later and she told me that she got my credit card information entered wrong. So she wanted me to give her the number again. And I'm like, actually, you know what? We're just gonna forget this whole thing. And so after that, it was that day that we decided to start looking into adoption.
Wow.
Yeah. It was like, okay, I think God's leading us, you know, very clearly here.
Yeah. I love
So.
that. Well, that the thing with being Catholic and facing these obstacles is, yeah, it's like you really, really do have to lean on God because,
Right.
I'm sure you had people at the time saying, "What? Why don't you just do this? Or why don't you do that?" And it is not that simple. If you're following, the catechism, and you probably didn't feel like explaining yourself to people.
Right. Yeah, depending on who I was talking to, you know, it was kind of like I would just kind of go, like, yeah, I know.
Right.
But yeah, it's definitely something that, but the nice thing is that the teaching is very clear. You know, there it's just very we took comfort in that and just knowing that what's the most important thing is for us to follow our faith and to be true to the word of God, you know?
Right.
So, and just like, I mean, we could never try to do something that that we know is immoral and again that goes against our faith and just to like give us what we want, you know, and to
Right.
try to take matters into our own hands. Like we just had to trust God that there's a reason for these quote unquote rules, right?
Right. Right. And
Oh.
yeah, it must have felt like God was putting all these obstacles in your way, and it feels like, why are you? It feels like a punishment, but really it was really him guiding you into the right direction that he wanted you to go, which
Right.
ended up being a total blessing for you. So okay, so go on. You were gonna do this, and you realized there's all these side effects. God
Yes.
basically intervened and said you didn't even give them the right credit card number, so don't even do it.
Hey,
And
I gave it to him correctly. She wrote it down wrong, just for
oh.
the record. So then that day we started researching, you know, options for adoption, and you have, you know, different things to consider. You could do, you know, foster care is the goal of foster care is reunification with the birth parents, you know, like that's the whole point of foster care, if at all possible. And then secondary would be if there is no possibility of them going back to their birth parents, then and there's no family members that are what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say qualified, that's not the word I'm looking for. Appropriate, like no appropriate family members, you know, that are willing to take them, then if they're in your home, usually that's when you would have the option of adopting these kids. So knowing all of that, and knowing that we weren't parents yet, we didn't have any kids, it was just they basically steered me away from that when I called because number one, adoption's expensive if you go through privately. So of course, you know, you think about foster care because it doesn't really cost anything in the end. I mean, virtually nothing, you know, when it comes to monetary cost. But so I think that they get a lot of that. So they were pretty discouraging, like, oh, you don't have any kids and you want a baby and yeah, this probably isn't the way you should go kind of thing. So they discouraged me from it and for good reason, I think, you know, looking back. At first it was disappointing, but then it was I understand more now today why that is. But because also the other thing we thought about was, you know, if we get on board for this reunification thing, I mean, we knew that that was kind of we didn't know how it all worked, and we thought maybe there was more kids available for adoption right off the hop, you know, type of thing. Obviously, we don't want to adopt a child that could go home with their parents, like, but anyway, when we figured out that just the thought of not being a parent at all, having no kids, then you invite kids into your home, Then all of a sudden you become a parent. It's the word foster parent, you know, foster is in front of that word, but I would still be a mom. I'd be a foster mom. And so that gives you a whole new purpose for your life. That would give me, like, I would be a mom, and then that kid leaves my house and I'm not a mom anymore. And then I'm back to being like, that
Would be too crushing
for me. Like, I just didn't think it would be a good route for us to take at that point. So we considered, then their next two options were domestic versus international adoption.
okay.
So then we had those, you know, things to consider. We met with a couple different adoption agencies and talked about the different paths and how that looks and how the cost difference and all of that. And so basically, I was very, go ahead.
Interrupt, but so about the cost difference, that's something I think a lot of people don't realize either. So you found out that international adoption was like way more than doing domestic adoption. And I know you were leaning towards that in the beginning, right?
Yeah. Well, yes, for what I consider now to be the wrong reasons is why I was leaning toward that. But yes, I
Oh,
was.
okay.
So basically, I can't remember exactly, and of course that may have changed now, but at the time, I don't remember exactly how much more international adoption was, but the major costs, besides, like, I guess the difference, the big reason there was a big difference with international is because depending on which country you would go to, you have to spend a certain amount of time in that country.
Right.
So, like, if you, some countries, like, you have to be there for 2 weeks. Some countries, it's like you have to make two separate trips for X amount of time. So, I mean, the whole time you're there, you need to eat, you need to stay somewhere, you need to take time off work. I mean, that's a lot of considerations as
Right.
well, you know. But so basically, I was still, you know, I was like, maybe there's still, like, a way we can do this. And I was kind of like, I was kind of internalizing all this, I think, at the time. And just kind of, my husband and I were both obviously going to these meetings and we were hearing the same stuff and considering everything, but we didn't really talk about it at the beginning. We just kind of were taking in all this information, you know? And then after we had already had the international adoption meeting, and then we had with a different agency, then we had another meeting, with another agency that we ended up going with, and we talked about both international and domestic with them. So we had that meeting, and then we're heading home, and I said to my husband, Dom, I said, "So what are you thinking, you know, with international versus domestic, you know?" And I'm like, "International, right? Like, you totally agree with me, right?" Like, and he's like, "I was thinking domestic." And I'm like, "Really? Are you sure?" And the main reason for my hang up on that was because they really were pushing for, wherever possible, some degree of openness with the birth mother or birth family members, or, you know, that just basically having that this open adoption, you know, which at the time was pretty foreign concept to me. And I was really, like, nervous about that. And also, if I'm being honest, selfishly, I just wanted to be the mom. Like, I thought if I adopted through another country somewhere and I'd be going and picking up this child and bringing them home with me, there's no confusion about who's their mom. Like, that would be me. I'm your mom. Like, there's no other mom around, you know? But after, like, really learning about this and basically trusting in the process, trusting God, I completely came around to the idea. And now I know how beneficial it is for all involved when possible, you know? But And not to mention, if you do take, you know, you adopt a child from another country, it's not like they don't have a birth parent. They still do. They'll just never know them, most likely. You know, they'll never get to where they were, possibly. But it doesn't mean that that person doesn't exist and that's not going to affect that child someday in some way, you know? So in my mind at the time, it was like, easy peasy. I'm the only mom. Okay, great. Let's move on, you know? So I've come a long way since then, but that's,
Yes.
you know,
Yeah, you've
those are
come
my
a long
true
way
feelings.
because you so then you ended up, how did you guys come, you came to the agreement that you would do domestic adoption?
Basically, I mean, when he told me that that's what he was really leaning towards, I had to just like take a minute.
Yeah.
I just kind of had to be like, okay, hold on. I wasn't really ready for this. I wasn't even considering this, really. You know, I didn't really realize that I wasn't considering it. I think I thought that I was still like keeping the options open, but then when he said that, I sort of felt like a door got slammed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of felt like, and I also started thinking about logistically actually getting this time off work and going and staying in the country and all that stuff. And I was just like, okay, I need to actually reconsider and like, why am I so against domestic? Like, what are my reasons? So I had to definitely pray about that. And I mean, we prayed together, of course. When I realized that my reasons were that I didn't want to do domestic adoption was completely fear-based, then that's when I knew that's not how you make a decision. You don't make a decision out of fear. That's the exact wrong way to make a decision. And so once I realized that and I was able to put my trust in God and give it to him, then I was able to listen to what my husband thought and realize that he was right. Like, this was the way we needed to go. And we proceeded to, we made a book and all of that so that the birth mothers could look at it. I guess I never really mentioned like the reasons for my fears of domestic, besides the fact that like I wanted to be the only mom, you know. The other thing is that with the open adoption element, I was honestly kind of worried about the state of like the state of mind or the type of person that the birth mother would be. I mean, what if like I mean, so my oldest Colby, his birth mom and I have a great relationship today. And she knows she we've talked about this so much and she already knows this, but I thought met
Mothers
mother
or
or
anything.
anything.
I just was worried.
What if, you know, what if they're kind of crazy? What if they're violent? What if they're trying to be the mom to the kid when I'm trying to be the parent? And the, you know what I mean? Like, was there, how confusing is it going to be? Or how many will our roles be defined? Like, what's this going to be like? Is this going to be co-parenting with a birth mother? Like, I just didn't know anything. It was so, like I said, it was a foreign concept.
And you can only know if you're following, you can only trust that you're following God's will by praying a lot and just trying to lead your
Right.
life the best you can.
Right. There's a big, yeah. Sometimes, of course, it can be hard to tell, is this my will or is this God's will, or like how do I know? But I think honestly, like I was telling you about this the other day, like just knowing just one way to help with the discernment process is just to go to confession, be in the state of grace. Spend time with the Blessed Sacrament, go to adoration, of course, go to Mass, and just do take part in the sacraments, you know, and just having that will help bring clarity, I think, quite a bit. And I pretty
Clear
clear
signs.
signs I felt like, I don't know, I think that's kind of a spiritual consolation that we're sometimes given, not all the time, but where you just know. Something like someone from the outside might say, well, that could have been a coincidence. Like, how do you really know that's from God? There's just been things throughout this whole process where I just knew, and I didn't really care if no one else thought that, or that's fine. I knew that it was, I just felt it. I knew.
So you
So
felt
that
really
helped.
convicted about a domestic adoption, and then so then what did you do? Who I know you signed up with what was the name of the
Adoption
organization,
agency.
or do you want
So yeah, I can, I don't, I think it's fine that I mention it. So it, in fact, it's kind of relevant when you consider, so it's not a, it wasn't a Catholic adoption agency, because they had, what was it, Catholic Charities. I don't know if they still have an adoption program or not, but I know that they used to be a lot bigger, and then they ran into some issues due to the faith and trying to stay true to the faith, and just getting, I know they were tr some, like, I think they were, there were people trying to shut them down, basically, I think, based on our Catholic faith. And so it was kind of one of those, I wanted it to also be a bigger agency where, there would be a lot, like a larger pool of birth moms looking at books and things like that. And so in the end, we decided to go based on, I had a friend who was also Catholic, and she, I used to work with her, and she had adopted twins through through Bethany Christian Services, and she highly recommended them. I'm sure depending where you live, I mean, it's a national thing and they have different branches throughout the country. And at least at, in our local area, it was a really good one, and they're ethical and all of that, so there's things to consider. You have to make sure, but I decided based on my friend's recommendation to go ahead and proceed with Bethany Christian Services, and of course we met with them and liked them too. So but we're making our book, so you make like a several books in case they want to pass them out to different birth mothers at the same time, and sometimes they'll even send one to another state because they have an online gallery, or I don't know what to call it, but there's an online one as well. So someone from another state might say, I would like to look at their book, and they'll send it to them.
Okay.
So anyway, while we're making our book, I wasn't, I was kind of conflicted about basically, how open do we make this? Just the, like, do we want to, how obviously Catholic do we want to be in our book is basically what I'm trying to say. Because this, like I said, it's not in a Catholic adoption agency. And like, what if some of the birth moms, don't like Catholics, or, and I, here I am, what I do best, I overthink things, I'm really good at that. And so, my husband, once again, I give him a lot of credit during this time because he was the voice of reason for me a lot of times. And he said, just think about that for a second. He's like, you're, if you, we hide our faith, we, or, I didn't necessarily want to hide it. I just didn't know how obvious I wanted to be about it.
Sure.
I felt there was a difference, but he just said, we have to trust God. Like, just, let's just put ourselves out there, all of our, all of it. And that's a huge part of our life. Like, we don't want to leave it out, let's trust God once again. And sure enough, we didn't have our books. Honestly, I think only two different birth moms looked at our book. The one actually got sent to another state somewhere, and then another book was put into the hands of Claire, who was pregnant with a baby who had a known cleft lip and probable cleft palate. And they asked us when we, actually the day we turned our books in, prior to that we had given a book early to get sent out, and because I hadn't put the letter in, you write a letter to the birth mom and put it inside the cover. Well, this one, they wanted to get this sent out, so I had given them one book previously, then I finished all the books, I came to turn them all in. That day they asked about if we would be okay with a birth mom looking at our book who had a baby with a known cleft lip and probable palate. And we didn't even really have to think about it because we had already thought about what we thought we could handle. And that was like, yeah, we can show her for sure, show her our book. So that day it got put into, and she apparently was very excited when she saw our book. She said her jaw was dropping the whole time, and she couldn't believe it because she also is Catholic. And here she is at, as a birth mother at an adoption agency that isn't Catholic either. And so she felt, I don't know, she was looking for, she's looked at many books by this time, by the way. She had like 3 months left of her pregnancy, and she's such a planner. She had been looking at books for a while, and she had at one point finally picked a family, and then they ended up getting pregnant.
Oh,
And
wow.
she was like, oh Lord, help me, like who's going to be my, the parents to this child, and she's stressed out, and here our book gets to her, and she literally, and this is just the crazy thing, I love thinking about this, because she called, or she emailed her worker like that day, and she said, can I reserve these people? Like, when can I meet them? I just need, like, we need to make this happen. Like, she's
Wow.
like, we laugh about it now. And she just, it's just so crazy. It's just God, you know, it's just
Yeah.
God orchestrating it, obviously. And so we met her long after that, not too long. It was the day before Dom's birthday, I remember. And we just talked and clicked really well, and she hugged us both. And I wasn't sure if she would be like, if it would be a depressed mood in the room or what, but she was just like excited. She was just so excited, you know, and it was
Yeah.
really, it was awesome. And
Yeah, I
then,
remember you to explaining how you weren't even sure. You thought maybe this was like a maybe get to know you meeting. Like, I don't know, you know, she wasn't sure about you, but you walk in and she's like, okay. You, like her attitude was like, okay, I'm so excited for you
I'm
guys.
ready for you to parent this baby when he comes. And she told us it was a boy, and she asked us what names we liked and everything. And we're just like
Wow.
looking at each other. Is this really happening right now? What
Oh
is
my gosh. Okay, so you probably should explain a little bit. I mean, Claire's really open about why she decided to give Colby up, but it wasn't just because of the cleft palate. It wasn't just that. She had a daughter already and she was
Going
single
through.
and
And then when she found out that, so Claire was, you know, having struggling with the whole thing for obvious reasons. You know, she's carrying this child and she's got a daughter to think about and all of that. And so when she found out at one of her ultrasounds that Colby had this cleft, she truly felt like it was God, you know, telling her, this is just too much to take on, you know.
right.
You were already considering adoption, and now basically I'm telling you that you have to, this is what you have to do. Like, she just felt it again, God's grace, just those spiritual consolations that we get.
Yeah.
And
I remember
so
her describing it like she felt like God was saying, it's okay. You can feel okay about this. You can feel okay doing the adoption route. Like this is the route that I have for you.
Right, exactly. That's exactly how she puts it. And so that gave her so much peace, you know, just knowing that like this is the right thing. And so and just as we got to know each other, you know, we had 3 months to get to know each other through that while she it
Was
was
just
just we just developed a great relationship from the beginning, you know. And so by the time she was ready to give birth, we already were very close. You know, we had had her over for dinner and things like that. We had gotten together, and we went met at a pottery place with I met her and her daughter, and we did some pottery and painted it or whatever. So it was a really, like, I don't know if you want me to talk about the day of or not, or if we should move on, or how much we've already, you know, I just don't want to get to, there's, I could talk about this forever. So you want to ask me questions or
Well, so you guys basically, I mean, it almost sounds like downplayed, but you and Claire had this amazing friendship right away. It was like, isn't she close to your age too?
she's a few years younger.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I remember, I mean, I just kind of remember that you going through this process and just being so blown away every single day about how you just it felt like God was orchestrating this whole thing. Like he was bringing Claire closer to him, bringing you closer to him, and you know, setting up this beautiful setup for Colby that I mean and then so
She really quick, I just went on that note, just with our ages. One thing she did tell me about later was that she was kind of worried. She did not really want someone to be his birth mom who was a lot older than her, because she didn't want to feel like they were a mother figure to her. And she definitely got more of that sister in me. You know, we kind of consider ourselves sisters in a way, you know. So we have that more of that relationship than that. It's not like I would consider her, you know, a daughter figure like someone would who was a bit older.
Right. And you have so much respect for her.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah, go ahead and talk about the day if you don't mind.
Sure. So, the day that she went into labor, she called me and told me, that she was going to the hospital. And so I, we didn't know yet for sure if he was coming. You know, she was really ready to have him by then, and she was hoping it was the time. But then when I found out that he was really coming, it was kind of fun. I decided not to call Dom, right away. I just waited for him to come home and surprise him with the news, and that was kind of fun, you know, just to let him know that he's about to be a dad here, you know. And of course, in the with the all the because you have to take classes, you have to learn about, you know, adoption, different things regarding related to adoption. And they talk about how the last thing you want to do is have a situation where the birth mother would ever feel coerced in any way, right? Like it has to be fully her decision. And so one thing they really drive home, the point that like this kid is not yours until she signs those papers. She holds that baby after she has the baby. She has a chance to, you know, just like have part of the adoptive parents right away. And it's like, no, birth mother hold that baby. And like it's okay for her to bond with that child. Like we don't have to, that's not going to deter, like that'll, and if that does, that's okay. I mean, if holding her baby makes her change her mind and she wants to keep that baby, that's her right. You know, that's her baby. So it's not like adoption isn't about me getting a baby or me becoming a mom. That's not what it is. You know, that's the bonus here. You know, it's there's a lot of other things here to consider. So anyway, that was of course in the back of our minds. Like we behind closed doors, like I said, I told Dom, like you're about to be a dad type of thing, but I would have never said that in front of the adoption agency, like workers, you know? And like, we never put pressure on Claire at all. You know, I just had to preface that because, that was a huge, it's a huge part of it. So anyway, when she actually had him in the hospital, so we waited at home, you know, and everybody does this differently. Some I've heard of plenty of birth mothers like say, come on down, like you can come wait in come in the room or come in the, you know, they have a special room for you here in the hospital or whatever. But she was a little bit overwhelmed with all of the details regarding like just the birth plan and everything else. She had a little bit of PTSD from her when her daughter was born. It was a very like traumatic experience for her with an emergency C-section and all kinds of things. And so she was just overwhelmed and stressed out, and I just didn't want to make it any worse. So she did not, you know, she didn't invite us to come down, and I never expected that. And we just waited at home until we just waited for her to tell us what to do, you know. So once he was born, she had a C-section with him too, you know, and she called and it was a little bit groggy, but she said we could come, and it was getting a little bit late, but we were like, she said, you could come tonight if you want to. I would love to for you guys to meet him. And so I think it was like 9 o'clock. I want to say, I could be wrong, but around there. And so we came and we got a chance to hold him, and it was surreal, you know. It was surreal. But we knew her dad was there and her mom was there, and we had already met them, you know, and gotten to know them. So it was pretty comfortable. The only thing uncomfortable at times was honestly having the adoption worker there, because we felt like they didn't fully understand our relationship, you know. Like you like in our minds we're like, you guys have no idea. Like they see this stuff all the time, and they have, you know, they have protocols and they have their own thoughts and feelings about what things should look like and whatnot. But so we just tried to be on our best behavior and be as, you know, like this feeling of professionalism or something. Like we couldn't just like be a big family, you know what I mean? Like,
If they weren't there, would you be more like geeking out? Like, oh my God,
oh,
like
probably,
that.
yeah. When they weren't there, it was we truly just felt like we were family. We were all family, you know, and we still feel like that today when we go over to her house, and
We just have a great relationship.
we're so blessed. But anyway, back to the day of. So we once we got to meet him, we went back after we got a chance to hold him and stuff, and then we went home. And the next day we were trying to figure out, trying to remember, Because she when you have a C-section, I think you're there for 3 days. Yeah, we brought him home on the 18th. So, oh, okay, I know what they do. So she was a little stressed out because at first she wasn't sure when she would be discharged versus when the baby would go home. And so she didn't know. She was very adamant that she didn't want him going to what's called respite, which is basically a home where it's just, a foster couple can, a foster parent can do that. Just however many days until the baby's ready to go be with the adoptive home. Or she was like, he's either going to be with me or he's going to be with Nicole and Dom. Like, that's it. I'm not sending him to a stranger for like a day or two, And so they were just trying to figure out all that and what they were going to do. And
Right. And
so,
they're probably not valid reasons for a lot of birth moms to do that. But I just think that's really sweet that she wanted to be involved to that level. And even though she was handing Colby off to you guys to be the parent, she still felt some authority over, I
For
don't know,
sure.
the decision making and stuff like that.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And I think, and that's her, again, that's her right. That's her child, like I said, until she signs those papers, right? And so, I mean, in a sense, that's her birth son forever. That doesn't change anything. But as far as like legally and everything, it's like she gets to decide that. Obviously, if she wants to bring him home or whatever, she can do that. But she didn't really necessarily want to bring him home either. She really wanted us to be able to take him right away. But the thing is that the adoption agency was very hesitant about that because they're like, we really don't like adoptive couples to bring that baby home until those papers are signed because we don't like to go pick a baby up and say, sorry, this actually isn't your baby. Like, she never signed the papers or whatever. So that's where there was a little bit of like, what do we do? So it kind of worked out since she did have the C-section because you can't sign papers in Iowa for 3 days, like 72 hours after the baby is born. Well, when you have a C-section, you can't be discharged for 3 days. So it worked out perfectly. Thank you, God, once again, that the papers could be signed after she was discharged. So another thing they don't want to do is sign the papers in the hospital because they also say that that's not good because sometimes they've had birth parents in the past where they sign these papers while they're in the hospital and they don't even remember signing the papers because it's just such a whirlwind. There's a lot of stress. It's a very sterile environment. Like, it's just very, that you sign how many different things when you're there. And so it just didn't feel as I don't know what the word is, official, or like I said, they would not even remember signing the papers. That's not good because this is very important. Those are some very important papers. And so what we ended up deciding to do was, and I can't remember, I think I actually, I don't know if I suggested this. I just remember her feeling super, super grateful to me and being super, just very surprised that I would suggest this. So I feel like it was my idea where I'm like, why don't you just bring him home and I meet you at your house? Yeah, I think it was my idea. So I said, how about this? You get discharged from the hospital. And because the last thing I wanted to do, yes, because the adoption agency, sorry, I'm like recollecting this as I talk. He was telling us that we should just meet at their building, which is a talk about, that to me felt very, very depressing. Like, let's go meet at this building, have her sign the papers, and then I'll just put that baby in my car and drive home. And I'm just picturing her waving at us, like bawling on the side of the road. I mean, I just couldn't handle the thought of that. And so then I thought, well, what if home and we meet you at your house, you sign, and then when I bring him to my house, you're already home with your support system, with your parents, and you don't have to go anywhere. And it just felt so much better. So we ended up doing that. I ended up we brought a cake to celebrate Colby's life, and it was great. The adoption worker came with the papers, Claire signed the papers, the adoption worker left, and then it was just me and Dom and Colby, Claire and her parents. And at first some of Claire's family members were there, like her aunt that she's really close with and her cousin, a couple cousins, and then they left, and it just was Claire, her parents, me, Dom, and Colby. And that was it.
Oh.
Claire's daughter was at her dad. So it felt, it was so, I'll never forget that night. It was just, we bonded. We had just a great, for the first time, Claire just cried. And she never had cried in front of us at all, at least about any of this. And it wasn't really like, it wasn't a sadness. It was a healing cry. Like she just talked about how thankful she was, like just for us. I mean, there was, it was a bittersweetness, I'm sure, like, of course, just
Right.
about the whole situation, but it was very like Dom sat in front of her. She was on the couch and Dom sat cross-legged in front of her, and I came and sat next to her, and I actually passed. I was holding Colby at the time, and I was like, here, take Colby, just hold him, you know. And it was just, we had a really just great moment, these moments that we'll just never forget. And so we're getting ready to leave. I just didn't even want to go home because I was like, oh boy, this is going to be big. This is big, you know? And so, but it was nice because we got some lightheartedness in the middle of trying to go, because it started raining, and then Colby pooped through his outfit, and Dom had already put the diaper bag in the car, so he's running back and forth. He grabs a diaper, and then I'm like, well, I need wipes, and then he runs out and grabs the wipes in the rain, and we're just laughing because here we are, new parents, like we don't even know what we're doing, you know. It was, we all got a nice laugh, and it was really, it was just the perfect way to end the night. And then we drove home, and I bawled the entire way sitting in the back seat with Colby. And
Oh my gosh.
we got home, and Dom fed him his first bottle, and I took a picture of him doing that through tears because I was night long. It was just, you know, it was not, I never sent her pictures because I felt like I had to. I always wanted to. I wanted to share those pictures with someone that I knew loved him as much as I did. And you know,
Yeah,
it
yeah.
was,
Oh.
it's just been, it's been great.
It's so hard for me to not cry when I hear it's so strange.
It's,
Just like
yeah.
it could not get any better. You know, your setup couldn't get much better. You know, it really
Definitely.
is like close to a dream situation. And when you have to, if you were to plan it, it couldn't go much better. And credit to Claire, like she really did embrace the role of birth mom. And
For
I just
sure.
love that she's so open about it, because I don't often hear about birth moms who are so open about it, but I love that. It's such an amazing thing to be a birth mom.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, there used to be so much shame and like guilt involved in the way they used to do things years ago, from what I hear, from like stories I hear. And I just love that they're making it more of a like I love that they're letting the birth mom be in control of things a little bit more, and like feeling like it's like when you're talking about when she, you know, the birth mom gets to hold the baby, and you know, they don't pass it off to the adoptive parents, right? I can't imagine doing that. That would be really
Right.
traumatic.
Absolutely. I think some healing that happens. And I think people used to consider those things as, you know, a threat to, not to like in an evil way, but just they have a plan, and it's adoption. And it's not a threat. It's not a bad thing. I don't know that we'll have time to get into any of the foster care stuff this time, since we've talked a lot about the this already. But basically, I was just going to say, when it reminds me of, when it comes to the bonding stuff and just how it's so good for that baby to be held by their birth mom after they're born. And it just reminds me of, in the foster classes, how they teach you about how important it is for those kids and babies to bond with their even their foster families. You know, they used to say, well, if, or people, I shouldn't say they used to say, but people used to think, well, but if they bond with us and they're going back with their birth families, then isn't that bad? Because then we're ripping them away from their foster families that they just bonded with. And they've really learned that it is much better to have bonded with the birth family or with the foster family, and then to have that loss, than to have not bonded with the family the whole time they're living there, you know?
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. One thing I wanted to point out before I forget is, so Colby had a cleft palate, right? And I remember, you know, talking with you about this, that, you know, back when you found out that was going to be a challenge, and how we talked about how, like, so many people have an abortion because their child is going to have a cleft palate. And while that certainly is a challenge, you know, depending on how severe it is, and, you know, you'll have surgeries in the future and, you know, other issues, it's not, right. It's a crazy reason to have an abortion, right?
Right. Very crazy. And of course, abortion is wrong at any gestational age.
Of course.
But the thing about the cleft is that is diagnosed way later in pregnancy. And it's just mind blowing that people would, that's the only reason they're a perfectly formed child besides this, you know, this facial deformity is a reason to sacrifice their life.
Right.
And I felt, because when I found out about the cleft, that was actually, I guess I never said that part, when we found out and they asked us, would we consider this baby that had a cleft, you know, would we be okay with the birth mother seeing our book? Not only was it okay with us, after we said yes, I started really feeling in my heart and soul that this baby was meant to be ours, because we have always been passionately pro-life. And I knew that statistic. And I just felt like, I think this is our baby. Like, I want this baby, you know, even though I know that this baby will come with extra hurdles in life, you know.
Sure,
I just felt pulled.
Well, I mean, it's true that he might come with extra hurdles, but whether your baby has a cleft palate or what else, all of them come with hurdles. Like, your kid's going to have hurdles, for sure.
What I'm meant is, about that is extra hurdles as the parents to have to, you know, go to all these appointments and go through these surgeries with this kid. And, you know, basically we'd be signing up for that, you know, because it's a little different when you adopt. Even knowing that, I didn't, again, it was complete blind trust in God at that point.
Right.
And I just felt strongly that he was ours.
Yes. That's awesome. I love that. Okay. So I think we should, so I want to ask you one more question. And then I think we should probably do like a part two about foster care. What do you think? Cause this is a whole story in itself. And I was a fool to think we could fit all of this in.
I know. And I talk, like I said, I can talk forever about it too. I can't, you know, try to be concise, but Believe it or not, this is being concise for me.
It's so fascinating and interesting. And I really think all this stuff is stuff that everybody needs to hear. So go on. people can always turn it off if they don't want to hear you.
Yeah, true.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you, and people are probably wondering, how do you explain this to Colby? So you have this relationship with Claire, and you know, how often do you guys see Claire? How do you explain this to Colby? So he's 9 now, and you know, questions have come up, no doubt, I'm sure. And how do you approach that?
Yes. So since the very beginning, obviously with our openness with her, he would always, you know, since he was little, when he was first born, I felt like I didn't know what to call her, because I felt like she just gave birth to this baby. She just handed him over to us. And I felt wrong about calling her just Claire. Like, even though he's a tiny baby, he doesn't talk, but just like when referring to her, like holding him and passing him over to her and saying, here, do you want to go see Claire? Like, cause you know, you talk to babies. Like I always talk to babies like they're older than they are, you know, do you want to go? And I just felt wrong being like, here, do you want to go see Claire? So we kind of started calling her we called her Mama Claire at the beginning, and just cause I felt like she deserved that title.
Yeah.
And she even said, this is so her, seriously, she's amazing and so thoughtful about all this stuff. She went out of her way to tell us that she thought it was very sweet that we called her that. But she said, I just want you to know that I completely understand that that will probably fade. And whenever it does, that's okay. I mean, I forget how the words she used exactly, but it was very like that. And I'm just, blown away by this person, like just amazing. And so anyway, it actually didn't take that long to fade off. It happened naturally and I don't remember, but at some point we started just calling her Claire, and he always has known her importance, and he's known that she is his quote unquote birth mom, but of course he was very young and he doesn't necessarily know what that means. So I realized my opportunity when my sister was pregnant and Colby was about 4 years old, and we hadn't talked to him about things like specifically in a while, like not purposefully. And I realized that this would be a great time. My sister is very pregnant. We're feeling a baby kick. And I'm like, oh, I can, this is a great time. So I said to Colby, I said, Colby, remember Claire? Like, obviously you remember Claire, but you know how we call Claire your birth mom? And do you know what that means? And I told him, so she had you in her tummy, just like Aunt Maggie has her baby in her tummy right now. And then, and you know, so Aunt Maggie will be this baby's birth mom. And of course, mom. Right. But it was a great way to explain to Colby that, you know, that is Claire's importance. He grew inside of her like this, you know,
right,
he kicked her from the inside, you know? And so that's how we started, just very simply. And they talk about that a lot when you go through the adoption classes, just about how like explaining things simply and just at their level, like age appropriate level, and letting them ask questions as they get older. They'll ask appropriate questions when they're ready. So not to give them too much information that you're putting on them. And also I've learned to not project my own adult, you know, feelings about things or the complexity of life onto a little kid who is, it's just very normal and natural for him. Like there's certain things that carry a lot of weight for adults, I think, because they can be so complex and we know the backstory of things, or there's such a history or something. When it comes to a lot of topics, I think we can just complicate it a lot as adults, you know?
Yeah.
And kids are just like, oh, okay. And that's it.
That's a good lesson. I'm thinking about all of the other things that are going on right currently with that. I wish that all adults understood that lesson. not putting your own like big life questions and like issues onto kids who are not ready to understand it, don't even want to understand it at this point.
Exactly.
And so far it's going great. Right.
Yeah. Yes, it is going great. And I think a lot of things that stressed us out in the beginning, we realized early on, because Claire and I both did this, we were thinking too far ahead about stuff.
Yeah.
And you had asked me when we were talking about preparing for this, to do this, you had said if I could tell myself one thing, like if I could go back and give myself advice.
Yes. Yes. What would it be if you were to go back and give your younger self some advice before the whole adoption thing? What would it be?
So I would probably say to not think so far ahead and don't feel like you have to have all of the answers now, because if you truly are trusting God on this journey, which you have to in so many other ways, then trust that he's going to lead you then, you know, and just take it, you know, day by day, really. I mean, you need to, it's obviously there's certain things you have to think ahead about a little bit, but when it comes to what about when he's a teenager and this situation, and what are the expectations here, or how does this look down the road? It's like Claire and I both got caught up on that or got caught up in that at one point. And we were both getting kind of stressed out. And then we had a talk and we were like, I think we should just not worry about it. I think we should just forget about this whole conversation and drop it and figure it out. Like, how about years later when we actually need to worry about it, you know? Because you don't have all the answers now, and you don't know what things are going to look like then. And every situation is different. So there's really no point in stressing about that, you know?
Right. That's so interesting. Do you look back and do you look back and think like you had a lot of maybe needless anxiety if you look back at the whole thing that you went through?
Yes, for sure. Definitely. I mean, we did feel God throughout the journey. So I do feel like my anxiety, because I can be kind of an anxious person. So considering that, I really feel like my anxiety was pretty in check, considering. But there were moments for sure, yeah, where I was kind of causing my own anxiety, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm thinking about things that I really shouldn't worry about yet, you know. A lot of stuff having to do with even like in general, having teenagers in general to me is like mm-hmm. a stressful topic. Like, I don't want to think about teenagers.
Oh,
right,
man.
Now.
Oh, me too.
And so then when I add on any of the adoption stuff and all of that, it's like, oh boy, you know. But I'm just like, you know what? How is that helping anything right now to be worried about that? How about I just trust God? Everything's going to be, it's going to work out how it's going to work out, you know, and just do our best day by day to raise these kids and to love them. And, you know, knowing that his birth parents love him as well, and they pray for him, you know, it just brings me a lot of peace that way as well. But
yeah.
Yeah.
And his godparents.
Yeah, exactly. His godparents pray for him, right?
Right. Me and Nate, my husband Nate, are Colby's godparents, by the way. And yes, we pray for him all the time.
Yes. So that brings comfort for sure. And I would just, I would say that would be probably the biggest piece of advice. Because I think you can drive yourself crazy thinking about what if this, what if that, and go down the road, you know.
For sure. In a way, I think it's like a blessing in a way that when your kids are young, you have all these fires to put out all the time. You don't really have time to think about
that's true.
You know, there's not a whole lot of time to try crossing bridges before you come to them.
Yeah, that's very true. You're kept too busy. And I think that's why at the time, because I didn't have any other kids and I was so focused on this one kid in this one situation, and Claire and I were so close and we would have all these conversations, we would just get deep into conversation sometimes, you know, and we would just talk and talk and talk our way into a mess that didn't even exist.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So yeah, that's pretty much it.
There's probably so much more you could say, but we should probably wrap it up. And by the way, if anyone has any questions for Nicole, you can email me and maybe we can do like a follow-up. Yep, we'll do a follow-up podcast with anybody's questions. I'm at productivecatholicmom@gmail.com. Okay, so this was really good. I liked this.
Yeah, it was fun. Thank I always you. Love talking about this because it's a great story that God orchestrated.
It's such a good story.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a good story. And maybe I'll have Claire on sometime to tell her side.
That'd
of
be fun.
I would love that. That would be great. Or maybe the two of you at the same time.
Yeah. And then we might have to set aside like 2 hours. No.
We may. That's true. All right. Well, I will let you go, Nicole. Thank you for being on.
And of course. It was fun.
Yes. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks.